to introduce Tom to speak for us tonight.
Thank you.
Hi, Tom.
My name is Tom. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic.
Hey, Tom.
I guess I should start by saying the best thing that could ever happen to anyone is being in recovery in AA. Okay, that's what I think. What are you going to do, sue me? I'm a lawyer. So, you know, don't act so quickly. Yeah. AA is the best thing that could happen to someone. It gives us a new life, gave me a new life. That doesn't mean everything is perfect, but we have a way to deal with it, to address it. Before, the way I addressed pain or whatever, I just drank and forgot what was happening and never really dealt with it. So some people may say that my background is what made me an alcoholic. And I thought that also for a long time, because I'm what is called a Holocaust survivor. I was born in Budapest, Hungary, 1944, in hiding, because I'm Jewish. I was hidden by a Christian family who risked their lives even more than they were putting us, the risk to our lives. And I always thought, and meanwhile, I lost my entire family except for my brother, my twin sister, and my mother. My dad, five aunts, one uncle, grandparents, they all didn't make it. We made it. So I thought that because of that background, that's why I became an alcoholic. But now I know I inherited a disease, and I would have become an alcoholic if I crossed that line, whether I operated an elevator or had any other difficult experiences and encounters. So I was born in 1944, and as I said, I always blamed what happened to my family for why I started drinking. I did start drinking a little later in life, because I was sort of ambitious. I had to work since I was 13, since I didn't have a dad. And I really didn't start drinking until I was really heavily, maybe 21, 22. Actually, in my last year of law school. Because I remember I started drinking and I sort of started making jokes. I sat in the back. I had an attaché case and I opened up on my desk and everybody knew I wasn't working, I was drinking a beer. So everybody laughed about that, and I laughed about that. But as we know, those things are not that funny. It progresses, it gets worse. And I happen to be an attorney. I know it's very rare that attorneys are alcoholics. Okay, that's a joke. I mean, there are no judges who are alcoholics. I remember once the judge said, could you approach the bench, please? And I went, whoa. So we all, no matter what we do, we all suffer from, many of us suffer from this disease. So the progression started slowly. It's one or two nights out a week. And then slowly, if you have the disease within you, slowly it's going to get you. And the one or two nights, and I justified it saying, look, I'm going to go to a bar and I need some clients. I'll pick up some clients. I'll just tell you this. I've never gotten a client from a bar. It never happened. I've gotten more clients from AA, but never from a bar. So that was the reason I told my wife, who is Irish, she's supposed to be the alcoholic, she doesn't drink, and the Jewish guy who supposedly they don't drink is the alcoholic. But of course we know it doesn't work that way. So it slowly progressed, and two nights a week where I came home at 11 turned out to be 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Then this isn't being sent to my brother, is it? No? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Yeah, I have a brother who hardly ever drinks. I have a twin sister who doesn't drink. You know, in fact, now on New Year's Day, she no longer gives me wine or anything, but she pours herself, you know, a glass of wine, and she takes one sip, and that's it. And all I do is stare at it. Is she gonna take another sip or not? So, it slowly progressed. You know, it progressed from 2 nights to 4 nights, from midnight to 2 in the morning to 4 in the morning. In Manhattan, they have after-hours clubs. So you could go at 4 o'clock and drink all night. I'll just go to what happened at the end. The story is the same. We all know what the story is. It progresses, it gets worse. And what happened to me is I started binging. I know some people are in the shock because I've been in the program for 33 years and, you know, yeah, we're all here for a reason, and the story is not nice. It wasn't like a picnic. None of us are here who had a picnic before. None of us. So it started progressing, and I began binging. So I left and didn't come home for days. You know, and one day I was supposed to come up here for something. And instead I stayed down in the city, and I had friends that I found down on 50th Street or whatever in Manhattan. And somebody had an idea that, you know, let's go someplace. Let's drive someplace. We didn't have a car. I had a car in my garage, which was in Upper Manhattan. So I go up Upper Manhattan with these newfound friends at 2:30 in the morning. And the guy who operated the garage calls my wife. What's happening here? He's here with some strange people, you know, who, you know, they're not wearing a suit. Let's just put it that way. So they called the police, and after 3 days, I didn't call. We didn't have cell phones then, but you did have dimes that you could put into a telephone booth. That's what we had back then. She called the police. She was really upset. And then after three days, I come home. And I won't forget this. My daughter 15 years old at the time, said, "Why didn't you just call? Why didn't you just call and say you're okay?" What was the answer to that? There was no answer. And that was the first time I spit out, "Must be because I'm an alcoholic." And then I did have, after 3 months, because I think I went because of my family. So when things settled down a little bit, you know, I went back. But then I saw that it wasn't any better. And last August, I had a 31st year anniversary. So AA is the best thing that could happen to anybody. There's nothing better than AA. It's not about drinking or not drinking. It's about a new way of life. Being able to deal with difficulties. We all have difficulties. You know, not losing ourselves and not addressing it. I would say this. You know, I'm a better person because of AA. You know, I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. My wife is Irish. So the Jewish guy went crazy with drinking, and the Irish wife didn't. But that's how this disease works. It'll grab anybody. So what, to me, the greatest gift of this program, and you heard me speak about it earlier, are the promises. The promises is the pot of gold. The pot at the end of the rainbow. People would wish that they could have these promises. People would give loads of money for these promises. And these promises come true for everyone, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But it's true, it works for everyone, everyone, no exception. So I'd like to go over some of that because it's such a gold nugget. People would wish that they would have just one of these 12 promises. And they don't have any. And do you know why they don't have any? Because they were not stupid, schmucky drunks. Does that seem fair? My sister doesn't have it. She doesn't drink. And instead, she struggles through life, you know, trying to deal with her own fears, and it's very difficult for her. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Think about that. Just that would be enough. The happiness no longer is that artificial happiness with a little alcohol in our system. It's a true, real happiness. Peace of mind. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. I will not regret the dumb and stupid things I did, staying out for days without telling my wife and my children? No, because I will see how that stupid, schmucky stuff may help others. I'm not happy with what I did, staying out without calling, without taking a dime. At that time, it was a dime. We had no cell phones. Taking a dime and making a call and saying I'm all right. My wife didn't care what I was doing anymore. That was over with. She just wanted to know I was alive, and I couldn't even make that call. That's how sinister this disease is. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't want to shut the door. I want to deliver the message to other alcoholics. Even a lawyer can be a schmuck. Okay, that may surprise some of you, but we will comprehend the word serenity. Think about that. And we will know peace. You know, up to the time I came into these rooms, I had no idea what serenity was, nor what peace was. Now, I lose it sometimes, you know, but the program brings me back. But I have glimpses of serenity, and I have glimpses of sitting on my porch and being able to understand and comprehend that I am a creature of a higher power, and I could look at the birds and look at the trees. I could do that now. I couldn't do that before. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. So no matter all of that stupid stuff that I did, I could come into one of these rooms and say, you know what? It happened to me. And this is what I did. And my life is so much better. I'm not saying everything is hunky-dory or bed of roses, but I could deal with it. I could deal with it. I've been given the tools a day at a time, maybe a minute at a time, but I now have the tools to deal with it rather than try to drown it out. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Yes. When I first got into these rooms, I was not happy. What the hell did I do? What did I do? What damage did I cause? You know, I wasn't with my kids till they were 14 and 15. But you know what? I'm with my grandchildren. I'm with my grandchildren 100% of the time that I am allowed. I will drop everything. No, I'm not. I don't go to a bar and think about my grandchildren. I'm there for my grandchildren. And that's also something. See, if we weren't recovering alcoholics, we wouldn't be what we are now. Everybody here is better than they were before. I'm taking a wild guess, but I think it's a pretty good guess. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. What a great gift that is. But you know what? Gaining interest in our fellows, in others in the program, is selfish. It makes me feel good. I love doing 12-step work. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. What a gift. There's 12 of these gifts. What a gift. We'll look at life in a wholly different way. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. Doesn't mean we're going to have all the money that we would like to have all of the time. Chances are we may not, but we won't fear it. We you know, we'll be able to deal with it. We'll be able to trust, you know, that everything will be all right. Everything always will turn out to be all right. We intuitively will know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. What a gift that is. You know, instead of drinking it down our bodies, we will deal with it. And we will learn how to deal with it. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. These promises are ridiculous. They're extravagant. What are we? No, they're not. They are not extravagant. It happens all the time. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always, 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 that's what it says. I'm not making this up. Materialize if we work for them. So tell me, why it doesn't seem fair that because I was a total schnook, an idiot, that I received the gift of these promises. It's not fair. It's not right. My sister should have this. She has none of these. But she's not an alcoholic. Does that seem fair? But let's not argue. Let's not argue. Let's take what we have been given. There's a reason that we've been given this. And let's try to pass it on. And AA is the best thing that can ever happen. To anyone, I'm going to say it. AA is the best thing that can ever happen to anyone. Better than the lottery. Thank you so much.